thus saw his mother there and the disciple who he loved standing nearby. He said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple he said, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Father, when we stand in your presence, we stand recognizing our insecurities. We stand recognizing our insufficiencies. We stand recognizing our lack and our limitations. But today we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would help us to hear your word beyond the murmur. We would hear your word beyond the euphoria. We would hear your word beyond all the excitement that comes with this celebration. That your word would find fertile soil in our hearts. It would germinate and it would bring forth a harvest. You know that when we stand before you, we need your grace and your help. And so today, I ask you for your grace, your strength. Because in our time of weakness, that's when your grace is maximized. We pray for the maximization of your grace in this hour. And that through it all, your name will be glorified. We pray that even though things are not optimum, the conditions are not optimum, the olive tree is not blossoming, there are no cattle in the stall, there are just so many limitations. But today we trust you. We put all our trust in you. And we believe you, Father. Have your way among us now, we pray, and glorify your name. And we believe that the miracle is in the movement. So we begin moving, Father. And we trust you, like Abraham, to guide our next stop. Let your heavenly GPS begin right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And all God's people say, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. In the house today, brothers and sisters, we do have Bishop Kennedy and his wonderful wife who worshipped at this congregation for many, many years. I'm going to invite them to stand, a wonderful member of this particular congregation. Bless the Lord. It's good to see you both again. And we give God thanks for you. As you know, pastors have to do many things, and sometimes you have to do damage control. And one of them I need to publicly apologize to Sister Dale and to Sister Taylor for not sharing with the church their cards that they sent to us after their bout of illness. Sister Taylor and Sister Dale, I do apologize. It was a genuine oversight on my part. They were actually in my office. So Sister Taylor, Sister Taylor had surgery, and she sent us a wonderful card saying thanks to this congregation for being there for her during those times. And these are the things that warm our hearts, Sister Taylor, when we know that our acts of love were really wonderfully accepted. And then for Sister Dale has sent us a beautiful card sharing with us her appreciation during her time of illness, how this church stood by her and how we prayed with her, visited and blessed her. Where is Sister Dale? Okay, Sister Dale is right over there. Put your hands together for Sister Dale. Thank you. And I do apologize to you both. And if there's any other that I have not paid attention to, please just draw my attention to it very gently. And I will make amends. Praise God. Is that all right? Are we good to go now? Bless the Lord. Many of you know various love songs, and when we quote the titles of love songs in our church, there are many people who are able to readily identify the songs and even the words. So if we should start the song, "You Are Always on My Mind." I mean, they got it. And that's the title of the sermon today, "You Are Always on His Mind." Jesus is always thinking about you. He's always thinking about you. I had a conversation, albeit by text, with someone in this very audience. It must have been last evening, I'm not sure. And my response to something that person said to me, I said, "What do we do when life does not make sense? And the things that happen around us just don't seem to add up?" And I said, the Word of God helps us to understand that when we cannot see God's hands, we can trust His heart. My brothers and sisters, the crucifixion of Jesus, and I'm not going to keep you very long, the crucifixion of Jesus was witnessed by many persons. Many, many persons. Pilgrims were in Jerusalem from the then known world for the feast that they were celebrating, and so the crowd was very big. In fact, we're told the chief priests were there, the scribes, the elders, the centurion, the Roman soldiers, Simon of Cyrene, two criminals. And then we come to the classical New Testament way of speaking of large groups. Crowds of bystanders were there. All right? I can't bother to count the number of them. Crowds of bystanders were there. Many women, including Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, the wife of Clopas, Salome, the mother of the sons of Zebedee, Jesus' mother, the disciple whom he loved, acquaintances of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, all of these people, according to the four evangelists, they were standing there at the cross. But brothers and sisters, how concerned Jesus was about his own mama standing there on Mother's Day. While in the throes of agony and pain through the torturous system, crucifixion was one of the most brutal systems that the Romans had developed to teach criminals a lesson. And Jesus was in the throes, thank you, Father. Jesus was in the throes of pain and agony, but even in the throes of pain and agony, somebody was on Jesus's mind. The world was on his mind. You and I were on his mind, but somebody else was on Jesus's mind. Mama was on Jesus's mind. Touch me, Father. Mama was standing there, and she was on Jesus's mind. You know, brothers and sisters, Jesus has a way of relating to us individually, even when we are gathered together collectively.
He has a way of identifying our particular needs and our particular struggles. So even though there was a crowd that was there, Jesus looked in the crowds of people that were there and he identified two individuals. And I'm running ahead of myself. But brothers and sisters, Jesus saw two people in a crowd of people. He looked at a crowd, but he only saw two. I don't know if you just got what I just said a while ago. You can hear a lot of noise in the church, but you're only listening to one person. Jesus looked in the multitude, the crowd. He was looking on a sea of people. Hallelujah. But he only saw two. Brothers and sisters, he saw two. You know, as I read the text, it was not just with his eyes, but he saw them with his heart. He saw them with his spirit. He observed, he took notice, he took interest in them. Exodus tells us that God said of the children of Israel, I have seen your challenges, I have heard your cries, and I've come down to help. Hagar in Genesis 16, brothers and sisters, 13 to 14, had an experience with God, and when she was done worshiping God, she came out with a new name for God, El Rohi, the God who sees me. Hallelujah. The God who sees me. The eyes of the Lord, says the word of God, are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. We have constructed a song in our time that says he sees the tears of a broken heart and soul. He sees those teardrops. He even hears them when they fall. You're always on his mind. He saw his mama and he saw a disciple. Let me unpack that quickly for us and get out of here so that mamas can enjoy their day. Jesus had a special relationship with his mother. Very, very special. Why so special? Because the angel of the Lord and the prophets of God spoke some things into Mary's life and into her hearing about her son, and she pondered them in her heart. She never shared them with anybody. She knew. So she was at a feast, at a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and they had a problem. The wine had run out. She took her son aside because of the special relationship she had with him, and she told him of the situation. They're going to be embarrassed, my son. Please do something about it. And he said to her, Mama, my time has not yet come. When you see the word woman, my time has not yet come, he was not being disrespectful. In fact, it was a term of endearment and respect to her. Mama, my time has not yet come. And Mary did something. Mary went back out there and said to the people out there, listen to me. Whatever my son tells you to do, just do it. There was a special bond, a special relationship with Mary and her son, Jesus. But brothers and sisters, when all the other disciples except John had deserted, Mary followed Jesus right up onto the cross. She witnessed every stripe he got. She witnessed every blow. She witnessed when they spat on him. She witnessed when they slapped him, when they flogged him. She witnessed every single one of it, and she would not turn back. I wonder if you understand what it does to a mother's bowels to stand there and to watch them hitting your son. When Mama Bear springs into action, some of those soldiers are lucky that they came out of it alive. Because trust me, when Mama Bear springs into action to defend her kids, it's not easy. Mary witnessed every single thing, but because she knew he was here for a purpose, that woman had to go through all of it. Can you imagine? She witnessed all of it. Women don't like blood. She had to stand up and watch the blood gushing out. But in her heart, she knew these things were told to her about her son's purpose here on earth. And there was no other way she could have endured it except by the grace of God. But as Jesus hung there on the cross, something was going through his mind. Jesus knew that upon his death, Mary's life, Mary's situation, Mary's life was going to be compromised when he died. You see, it would seem, brothers and sisters, that Joseph had already died, because the experts have said to us the absence of Joseph's name and Joseph in the life of Jesus' ministry seemed to suggest that he had passed away, he had died. And even if he were still alive, Jesus was the firstborn son, and firstborns play a very special role in the life of a family. And if the daddy died, the firstborn son had to take on the responsibility of the house. He had to care for his mama, he had to protect his mama. It was a patriarchal society. Men had all the talk. She could not stand in court as a witness. She needed a male in her life. And standing there at the cross, Mary, I don't know what was going through her heart. She knew that her life was going to be compromised without her son, her firstborn son, around. But apparently, well, while she was thinking about that, he was thinking the same thing too. That my mama is going to be in trouble without me being around. She was on his mind. He was concerned about his mother. You know? But listen, brothers and sisters. As he looked at his mama, He called out to her and said something. But can you allow me to talk about the other person whom Jesus spoke to before I pull this together? Jesus spoke to at least two people. We remember he also spoke to the thief on the cross and And at Easter time, we talk about the seven saints from the cross. Let's just talk about this one right now. Jesus talked to somebody who was there. Mamas, I want to talk to you today, but I want to talk with everybody else today, because Jesus spoke to two people, and it gives us an opportunity to relate to two sets of people today. Let's talk about the other person who Jesus talked to. In the very dying moments of his life, Jesus called upon somebody to do something for him. He called upon his disciples to pray with him, to stay in prayer with him. But at this point, Jesus is talking to somebody at the cross, and he singles out one guy who is called John, who wrote the book, and for modesty's sake, he does not say his name in the book. He calls himself the disciple that Jesus loved. There was a special relationship between Jesus and John. Jesus chose 12 disciples. Three of them were dear and close to him, but one of them was teacher's pet. John and Jesus were tight. They had a good relationship. No, you know, I tried to dissect it and tried to understand it. And I came out saying, brothers and sisters, here is what I know, Gary. God has given us the capacity to love, but he has also given us the capacity to be loved and to receive love. Because some people don't have the capacity to receive it even when you're giving it. Am I talking to some relationships right now? Or some of them that you have been in before? Where you're pouring out love and people don't have the capacity to receive it. Huh? Anybody know anything else? John, all the other disciples were with Jesus. It would seem to me that there had to be something special that caused John and Jesus to have such a strong bond. Am I talking to somebody? Abraham and God had a very strong bond. Very, very strong bond. Abraham. God said, I'm going to do something. How can I hide this from my friend Abraham? Christ, I would love God. Yeah, he does call me his friend. I am not forgotten. You know what I'm saying? He calls me friend. Yeah. So Abraham and God had something tight. God said, how can I do this and not tell my friend Abraham? Huh? You know, you know what he says about David? He said, David, you're a real crazy guy, you know, but you're a man after my own heart. David, those girls really mess up your head, David. But you know the truth? You're a guy after my own heart. Trust me, I'm going to have to do something for you because you're a good boy. And I want to help you out. Brothers and sisters, there are people who are close, we're close to Jesus, we're close to God. Jesus found in John a genuine friend. He found a faithful friend. He found a trustworthy friend, a friend who, when everybody else had walked away, he was there. The text says John and Jesus were so close that Jesus did not tell anybody who was going to betray him. And he was talking some stuff at the table. But he was being very enigmatic in his thing. And circuitous. Just trying, going around. And somebody said to John, ask Jesus who it is. Because he will tell you. John asked Jesus, who is it? Jesus said, John, I am going to dip the bread in the plate. And anybody who I give it to, that's the person. And he dipped it in the plate, handed it to Judas. John must have said, oh my God, I don't believe this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But Jesus and John were close. He knew something about the guy. The guy stood there and watched the beating and the pain and everything else. He watched, he saw what was happening. But Jesus called out to John and said, John, my friend, I'm going to ask you for one more favor. I am committing my mama into your hand. When I die, John, that's going to be your mama. I want you to take her and treat her like a mama. John, can you do that for me, please? Please, John. I'm going to ask you, do me a favor. Take care of my mama. If God ever look at Wayne Vernon, there's an Anthony in the middle. You don't have to use it. But if he ever looks at me and says, son, I'm going to ask you to take care of my mama. Trust me, man. That would be the day of my life. John was given the awesome responsibility of taking care of Jesus' mother when Jesus was leaving. Jesus' selfless love, brothers and sisters, looking out for his mama, even in the throes of agony and pain. He was looking out for his mama, the crowds all around. But Jesus entrusted his mama to the care of a genuine friend who stood with him, who stood by him to the very end. He knew John's heart. He knew that he could trust John to deputize for him in caring for his mama. Can I tell you, sitting here today are some mamas. Ah, so sometimes your own kids are not as responsive, are not as loving, are not as caring. I don't want to speculate too much, but Mary's sister was standing there, said the word of God. Jesus never asked Mary's sister, his auntie, to take care of his mother. Why? Jesus had other brothers and sisters. He never asked them to take care of mama. He never said to his siblings, the one who followed him, he never said, remember to take care of mama. No, brothers and sisters, he looked for a friend. And he said, John, do this for me. Take care of my mama, please. I say to you, brothers and sisters, and to mamas particularly, that my Bible tells me that when your mother and your father forsake you, God will take you up. My Bible tells me that he says that he will be the husband to those who have no husband. He will be. That's what my Bible tells me. He loves. He cares. You're always on his mind. And I don't care if today you do not get a rose from your biological kids. We had people in here today say to us, Mother Lorman has been a mama to me. Mother Denton has been a mama to me. Mother Gail, Sister Harris, Sister Reed, Sister this, Sister that. Names were just coming forward. Can I tell you that this morning I called someone to wish her happy Mother's Day, Sister Rodway of the Oshawa Church. I broke down in tears. I could not finish my sentence because that woman has acted as a mother to me in a new country. She did. Listen to me. It doesn't matter if your kids are not taking you out for dinner. I know it will hurt. It doesn't matter if you will not hear from them today. They did not call this morning. Don't allow that thing to destroy you, because you're always on his mind. On the cross, he said to a friend, take care of my mama. And I'm saying to you today, I entrust you to the hand of God, every mother in the house. No matter what your disappointment is, I say to you, you are always on his mind. It strikes me funny, Bishop Kennedy, that Jesus said to the disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you another comforter who will be with you forever. He will remind you of everything I teach you. He's going to support you. He's going to be there for you. But for his mama, he said the Holy Spirit will keep company of his disciples. But for his mama, he says, John, I want you to do it. I want you. I don't know if sometimes we understand. I was reading a book called The Power of the Other. The Power of the Other. I don't know if we understand the power of another person in our lives. Do you know the number of people who I don't like, you know, I try not to have people calling me daddy or father or stuff like that. But do you know the number of people who have said to Vonnie and me that you have been parents to us? One young lady said, Pastor, the reason I love you both so much is because at a critical time in my life, if God never sent you to that hotel that Saturday morning and allowed us to meet at the dining table and for you to pour into my life at that dining table, I would have been a lost girl. That's what she said. Yeah, the power of the other. You and I are so important in the lives of people. Jesus said, John, I want you. He was concerned about his mother. He was caring for her. And so he commended her to his friend John. And I want you, brothers and sisters, to bear just a few minutes more with me to see the consequences of what Jesus did. He was concerned and caring, and so he commended his mother into the hand of a friend. And look at the response of the friend. The Bible says, from that moment, from that day, John took Mary to his house and took care of her until she died. He didn't say that, but why not? Let's assume that. The man took his responsibility seriously. He knew that Jesus was depending on him. He knew that if Jesus did not trust him enough, he would not have commended his mama to him. I say to us today, as I bring this to a close, brothers and sisters, that Jesus saw his mother in the crowd. Jesus is looking and seeing some of you in this crowd right now. Some of you who have bought yourself your Mother's Day card. Some of you who have cooked. Come on. Some of you who have cooked your own Mother's Day dinner right now. Some of you who are going out with yourself after this. I'm telling you, he has looked across the crowd and he sees you individually, not just as a crowd. He saw his mother and he said to her, Mama, I'm going to take care of you. But I want to share something else with you. Let me share two things with you and keep and pull it down. Mothers, Jesus said to his mother, Mother, that is your son. There is power in reception, Gary. When Jesus commended her to the care of his friend, it was up to her to accept it, to receive it, or to reject it. And Jesus said to her, Mama, that's your son. Yeah, he's going to take care of you. I'm leaving you into his hand. But he then said to Mary now, Sister Sandra, that Mama, that son, this is your mother. And he wanted John to understand that there was no, anybody can tell me, a symbiotic relationship. The two of them were going to take care of each other. There was something about John that Jesus knew that his family of origin was not fulfilling in his life, because Jesus knew the entire family. And Jesus said to him, you see this lady, allow her to pour into your life. Allow her. Jesus knew that Mary had something left. She wasn't done yet. Jesus knew that Mary could pour into somebody else. Sometimes I wonder, brothers and sisters, how can my auntie, who is 99 years old, who some days she cannot speak to anyone, but whenever you go there, as feeble as she is, she's still pouring into your life. She's not done yet. Mother Denton, can I tell you, you still have some stuff to pour in. Mother McDonald, you still have stuff to pour in, because when I visit with Mother McDonald, she when I call her on the phone, she has a word that she will share with me. Can I tell you, Sister Scott and Sister this and all the other names that were called out, Jesus knew that Mary had something in her. He knew that John had something in her. I tell you today, brothers and sisters, as I leave this podium, young people, realize that you too can pour into people. You know why I know? And this is why, Shelly, Janice, I'm one of the reasons that sometimes I don't listen to you when you're grumbling and complaining is because when your mama was your age, Janice, she was driving the 8 hours with you. Huh, Shelly? Stop wanting people to support you now, Shelly. If you not grew up yet, we can't help you again. It's your time now. Janice, I heard somebody call your name. It is time for you to be motherly to somebody and stop wanting somebody to be motherly to you. It's time you grow up now.
Can't help you. There's no way we can help you.
Hear me, brothers, and Jesus knew that John had something in him to deposit in Mary's life, but he also knew that Mary had some stuff to deposit in John's life.
And I'm kind of wondering, you know, there are people who wonder, why is it that John writes his gospel differently from the others and share certain stuff with us that the others did not share? And you're wondering where John may have got that. Son, that's your mother. Mother, that's your son. Some intimate details that John has. I don't know. But I'm saying that relationship between himself and Mary could account for why Dr. Luke didn't know that. And Matthew didn't know that. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, today is Mother's Day. I say to you, mothers, you're always on his mind. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what. But God is going to place somebody in your life. Somebody in your life that will look at you and will say, like Mother Johnson at the Old Harbor Church said to me, Pastor, the former pastor, I consider him to be my son. But when it comes to you, I consider you to be a friend. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Mother Johnson, who everybody reveres in church? This woman, at the end of the day, she looks at me and says, you are my friend. And when I die, make sure you do my funeral. And I said, Mother Johnson, where are you going? No. She said, you heard what I said? Okay. Just you heard what I said. Yeah. And she left it at that. And believe it or not, she did go. And I did go back and I did her funeral. Because she had charged me that you are a friend. And when they wanted to do chemo and stuff, she called me in Canada and told me that I must call Pastor Edwards, who is paying attention to her, and tell him she's not doing it because she wants her friend to tell him. Amazing. There are some people in this house right now that they have taken care of you over the years. Some of them don't even have their own kids. And sometimes we relate to them in negative ways because they are sometimes overbearing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I feel like I need to push some people off a little bit because they feel overbearing. But then when I sit down in my quiet moments and I pray for my brothers and sisters, I say to myself, Don't be harsh with Mother Johnson. She's doing it out of love. And that woman poured into my life. And there are people in here who are pouring into your life. Today, as we leave this place, Johns, where are the Johns in here? The female Johns, the male Johns, the little Johns, the big Johns, the young Johns, the older Johns. Can we trust you to walk out of this service today and to take responsibility for a mother? Huh? To take responsibility for somebody. To take responsibility. I don't know how it works. I don't know why I can't get Sister Radway out of my life. And I don't know why she can't get me out of her life. But everything happens, she wants to know, Pastor Vernon, you all right? You know, we had a snowstorm. Did you get home safely? Sister Radway, did you get home safely? I just asking, Pastor. I'm not insulting her. Yeah. And then Sister Radway, Tell me, did you get your son, your snow removed as yet? Pastor Vernon, you're here, I say you're too busy, you mustn't worry yourself about that. Honestly, and I'm leaving, I've left Toronto, and I go to Sister Radway's house, I still have her key. And I go in and I move her snow at night. Nathan and I go there, move her snow. She called me the next morning. Pastor Vernon, did you come here last night? Why did you ask Sister Radway? Pastor Vernon, did you come here last night? I said, why are you asking me? Because my snow was removed. And it had to be you. You know what I'm saying? It just had to be you. Can God trust you? Brothers and sisters, stand with me, please. Can God trust young people? You have parents, you have mothers, you have fathers who are doing everything for you. They are pouring out their very soul. Don't let them pour out their blood. Have mercy on them. And I hear the talk about, I don't do this on Mother's Day because I respect every day, and that's a cheap cop out. Did you do it yesterday? Did you do it last week? You're talking about, I do it every day. Did you do it? When? Tell me when you did it. You haven't done it for the whole year yet. This is a good day. This is a good starting point. Start today and then do it every day after today. Mothers, we love you. We really do. And we appreciate all that you have done for us. We bless God for you. And we know that even today might be a challenge for you, but we love you. And we pray God's blessings upon you. Bow your heads with me, please. Bow your heads with me, please. Bow your heads everywhere as we quiet our hearts. He knew me. Yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. Oh, I'm so the cross, I was of his mind. He knew me, oh, he knew me. Yet he loved me. Heavens shine. Oh, I'm so unworthy of such mercy. Oh, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.